The first Rams preseason game of the year is tomorrow. So what are the most important things heading into the first quasi-real competition of the year? That's coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcast. My name is Travis Rogers. Thanks for making us a part of what you do. Not only do I host the Rams, Locked On Rams podcast, I should say, I also do the Rams pre, half, and post game show on their flagship station right here in Los Angeles, ESPN 710, as well as host the Travis and Sliwa show, which airs every day, Monday through Friday, I should say, 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. So a little morning, a little afternoon for you right there. Of course, the Locked On Rams podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Do me a favor, click that subscribe button in your podcast feed. It should be right there, right? Maybe it's a check mark, maybe it's a plus, maybe it's a little bookmark looking thing. You know what you're looking for. Click it and you'll get your Locked On Rams every single day. So here's what we're going to do on the pod today. We're going to talk about three different things to keep your eye on going into the first preseason game of the year, which is tomorrow night at SoFi Stadium, 7 o'clock West Coast time. Of course, the pregame show on ESPN 710 with yours truly and Kirk Morrison will be on at 5 o'clock. And then, of course, we will be on immediately after the game talking about everything that we saw right there. And, of course, back here on Monday, breaking it all down as well. So we got you covered there. Let's go start right here. I think this is the most important thing that the Rams have, not just arguably for the preseason, it's unequivocally the most important thing that they have here in the preseason, but rather one of the more important things I think that hopefully we never have to get an answer to. But if we do, I think we may have a little bit of an understanding of what it may be in this game right here. And what I'm talking about is the quarterback position. Matthew Stafford clearly is not going to play, right? Matthew Stafford is not going to play in the preseason. Matthew Stafford even had a little bit of off time during training camp because of that elbow issue. Let's start with this. Mike Martz, former head coach of the Rams, was asked about Matthew Stafford's elbow and how worried he would be about it. Now, keep in mind, he does not have any inside information here, but he's just talking about, as somebody who is a head coach in this league for a period of time, what is and what isn't important. The health of your quarterback is number one, right? And what he said, and he put this in an interesting way that I hadn't really thought. He said, you know, he's very, very concerned about the status of Stafford's elbow. Sure, I think we all are. But he said something that really kind of went, oh, yeah, that's an interesting point, something that I hadn't really thought about. The season hasn't even started yet. He's had some workload in training camp, to be sure. He's had some workload in OTAs, or at least the very limited stuff that they would allow him to do. But the Rams Super Bowl ended on February 13th. Okay, so presumably that was the last time he threw a pass at full velocity, with ready to go with intense competition and everything else. So fast forward here to the beginning of July. So you've got basically February, March, April, May, June, and a little bit of July. You've had 5.5 months to get that thing squared away, and that it wasn't, doesn't fill me with a great deal of confidence. Now, maybe you can manage it. Maybe this isn't like a pitcher situation. I know that I make some comparisons to the Dodgers occasionally here because I'm a Dodger fan as well as a Rams fan. This isn't a Walker Buehler situation where you have to shut him down and, you know, okay, we'll see in 3 months and hope that everything's better. It's not that. Maybe it's a more manageable situation. But the fact of the matter is, if this thing has not been taken care of with 5+ months of therapy and treatment and rest, should we have a great deal of confidence that this is something that's going to be a non-factor once, you know, we're inside a month now. The Rams opening game against the Buffalo Bills is on September 8th, which is less than a month from right now. If we're already managing some elbow issues, what is it going to look like when you get into October and November and the meat of the season? And certainly by the time you get to the end of the line, what are we talking about? So all of that is preamble to set up the question about what's coming up on Saturday night, which is the first preseason game of the year against the Chargers. John Wolford is going to get a handful of snaps. Bryce Perkins is going to get a handful of snaps. One of those two guys, and it will be Wolford for sure, is going to get the lion's share of the preseason snaps. And here's the thing. You might need to play. So I don't know if it matters if John Wolford goes out there and throws for multiple touchdowns. I don't know if it matters if he goes out there and throws for, you know, 300, 400 yards. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about basics here, right? Because this is what you're going to be dealing with if, in fact, Matthew Stafford has to miss any time, is competency. You hear me use this word on the podcast all the time. Is it competent? Does it work? And here's what I'm going to be looking for on Saturday night. If a guy is open, can he deliver the ball on time and on target? It sounds so simple and so easy and such like a 1+1=2 sort of situation. But if that's not right, the rest of it doesn't matter. I will worry about whether or not you can go through your progressions. I will worry whether or not you can lead a 2-minute drive. I will worry whether or not you know clock management, whether or not you have the presence to command a huddle, et cetera, et cetera. All of the things that make quarterbacking the most difficult job in sports. I get it. But if John Wolford or Perkins can't deliver that ball on target, on time, then we're done here. Because it doesn't matter. None of the other stuff matters. If when that guy's open, that ball's not on him and on the right spot, it doesn't matter what else happens. So that's what I'm going to be looking for on Saturday night. On target, on time. Can he do that? If so, and I get it. The windows in preseason are going to be a lot bigger than they are during the regular season. The competition that they're going to be facing on Saturday night is not the same competition that they're going to be facing on Thursday night here in about a month when they take on the Buffalo Bills. I understand it. But if you can't execute this, what faith should I have that you're going to be executed against better competition, more intense competition? I won't, is the short line. So I think if this goes poorly, and certainly if the game after this, I believe next Friday, a week from today, is their next preseason game against the Houston Texans. If you have a couple that go poorly and neither one of these guys kind of separate themselves. And again, Wolford is going to be the guy that's going to get the chance to do all of this first. You got to seriously consider seeing what else is out there, because the Stafford elbow situation is a real one. And you got to figure out what's going to come if, in fact, you need to play a game or two or maybe even longer than that without him while he gets right. So the number one thing, when they kick that thing off tomorrow night at SoFi, can these guys, Wolford in particular, hit guys that are open on time and on target? Now, if we're talking interceptions, big problem. If we're talking, just rampant confusion, big problem. But let's assume that those two things don't happen on time, on target. Can we get that done on a regular basis? That is number one. Okay, so if that's number one, what's number two? We're going to stay on the offensive side of the ball. We'll talk a little bit about those running backs. That's coming up next on Locked On Rams. But not before we talk about the guys at betonline.net. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. And golf maybe gets a little more interesting, right? That you started to weed out some of the other guys from the field going to that other tour. So go check that out as well. Golf, if you follow golf, not a bad way to maybe get down a little bit of action right there. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They've got you covered. Head to BetOnline.net today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening right now. BetOnline, where the game starts. So if quarterback is the number one priority going into the preseason game Saturday night against the Chargers, then I think the second most important part of this is going to land on the guy standing directly behind him. And we're talking about a little bit of that running back competition as well. There are going to be opportunities here. There are going to be some opportunities for guys to step in and get carries that maybe you weren't expecting. Because here's the rub. Let's talk a little bit about the Rams running back room that they have right now. I don't think that there's any question that Cam Akers is the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse. He's going to be the starter. He's going to be the guy that clearly Sean McVay has the most faith in as we sit here the middle of August 2022. The second that he was able to come back last season after the Achilles tear, he was immediately back in the starting lineup. He didn't play very well. I like Cam Akers. You know, you go back a couple of seasons, he was great. I think he was the reason that Jared Goff was able to kind of get back on track a little, because he didn't have to do too much because Cam Akers was able to carry some of that water. So I believe that Cam Akers is a good football player, but a couple of things have happened. Number one, he's had trouble staying healthy. Number two, he's got a little bit of the fumble bug, which is not good. And he just did not look right at the end of last season. I get it. A very significant injury that he had come back from very, very quickly. So I'm aware of what we're talking about. But that is an injury that is not filling me with a great deal of hope. This is not like an ACL, right? The ACL, as scary as it is and is as much of a career-altering injury as it may have been 15 or 20 years ago, they kind of know how to do that, right? We tie this piece to that piece. We screw it together, wait a little bit, lift some weights, do this, and okay, boom, you're back. And it works. It's like Tommy John surgery in Major League Baseball that you never want to get that diagnosis, but if you do, we can fix it, right? Achilles, yeah, not quite so much. It doesn't work quite like that. So whether or not he's good to go, I hope that he is. But if he isn't, this is where the rest of the guys that are going to have some opportunities. Daryl Henderson is another one who's probably number two on the depth chart. Whether or not he's able to go in the preseason, I would be surprised if he plays. I wouldn't think that he would. But Sean McVay, and this isn't anything Sean McVay has said. I'm just going purely on what I've seen Sean McVay do with Daryl Henderson. And that is he doesn't give him the ball very much. They might throw it to him occasionally, but they'll hand it to him occasionally. But this is not what they did with Cam Akers, where it's 20 carries, 20 carries, 20 carries. Like, boom, we're going to run this thing. We're going to run this thing. We're going to see what we can get here. With Henderson, it's a handful of carries, a handful of catches, and that's about it. And I think that just, you know, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me. Go ahead. I'm just going to go by what I'm seeing with my own two eyes. And Daryl Henderson, again, has had trouble staying on the field, and that's just, you know, what's the cliche that the best ability is availability. He has not been available for significant stretches of his career since arriving in Los Angeles. So that is what it is. And when he has been healthy, he's been decent here and there. There's been moments where he's looked like a pretty good NFL player, but there really has not been that, oh, okay, I think they're onto something here with Daryl Henderson. And I'm just going by the amount of time that he gets under Sean McVay. So he's number two. Where it gets interesting after that is Kyren Williams, where he is a guy that the Rams spent a draft pick on, which, you know, obviously they thought that there's something in there that they might be able to go get. He comes from a program at Notre Dame where he's obviously going to be prepared as best as you can be coming into the NFL. And he's got ability. And I think you're going to see him a little bit here in the preseason. And again, this is where I think the Rams are really, really smart about what they do, that they're going to make sure that the guys that are not the number one guy, not the number two guy, but a guy that may have to be number one or number two for a game or two, or maybe even longer than that, has gotten some reps. Let's see what it looks like. And I think Williams has an opportunity to kind of slide into that role right there. So if he can impress or just survive, make the team and perform as a special team or whatever, then maybe if the things that we're talking about, whether it's Daryl Henderson falling out of favor a little bit, or maybe it's Cam Akers not quite being able to come all the way back from that leg injury that he had, maybe he's the next guy up and he can go. So I'm excited to see what he may be able to do coming up on Saturday night. Now, here's the other rub about this too. There's some scuttlebutt out there that Sony Michel may get cut from the Miami Dolphins is where he is right now. So we'll see whether or not that's true. Sony Michel was so valuable to what the Rams did last year because Henderson, like we talked about, it kind of is what it is. Akers was unavailable at the beginning of the year, and Michel came in and was unfamiliar with the Rams system, came in and really gave them a solid performance back there every single week during the season. And obviously kind of fell out of favor towards the end of the season because they went back to Akers, but that's another opportunity I look at with the Rams that if in fact Williams becomes available, Michel becomes available, you snap him up, you bring him back in, you put him plug and play, and you know that he's going to give you, it might not be an A, but it's not going to be a C either. He's going to give you, you know, B plus, maybe a little bit of B minus along the way, but he's going to give you a quality NFL performance week after week after week. He's going to pick up his blocks. He's going to catch the ball. And the way that the Rams play offense, the way that they throw it around, those are probably just as important as anything you're going to do once you turn around and hand it to him along the way. So if none of these guys at the running back position are able to kind of pop on Saturday night, or certainly like we talked about at the quarterback position by Friday night against the Houston Texans coming up here in about a week, then I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams start looking elsewhere, because again, we're talking about a window that's relatively small for the Rams. They're going for it again. This is not dissimilar last year. You got a little bit more wiggle room because you already have a little bit of money in the bank with last season's Super Bowl championship. But this is not a, hey, we're going to play this for the long haul. Let's see what it looks like over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. This is a, let's go try to win the Super Bowl again right now. So I would not be surprised to see them make some moves in that regard as well. Okay, one more position group that I want to talk about and what I'm going to be looking at on Saturday night. That's coming up next on Locked On Rams. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. Thanks for making us a part of your daily routine. Appreciate that a great deal. Click subscribe on your podcast feed and check us out on Locked On Rams on YouTube as well. We've got a little YouTube channel there where we have the same conversation. If you want to check that out, put it on your laptop while you're cleaning the house or watching TV or whatever it is you got going on there. It's a good way to do it also. Okay. Quarterback we talked about and whether or not Wolford is up for it in the event that Matthew Stafford is not. Again, let me just put this out there. John Wolford's played one game at quarterback in the NFL. One. Okay. Let me back up a little bit. The very best thing that John Wolford has going for him, in my eyes, and what makes me feel okay about some of this stuff, Sean McVay thinks it's going to work. Okay, look, you've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it right now, and it won't be the last time I say it, I promise. In McVay, I trust, right? If Sean McVay thinks that John Wolford can win NFL games, then he probably can. The next real big mistake that Sean McVay makes personnel-wise, I think will be the first. If he thinks it can happen, it probably can. That's the good news. And that's the one that says, okay, if he believes it, then I you know, what's the line? If you like it, I love it. Okay, great. Here's the flip side to that. He's played one game in the NFL and it was okay. You know how many touchdown passes he threw in his one NFL start? Zero. You know how many interceptions he threw? More than zero. Just one, but it wasn't zero. He runs okay. And he beat the Arizona Cardinals. Great. I mean, I'm not throwing cold water on it, but it's one game against a team that Sean McVay kind of owns inside and out. So that's good news. He started the playoff game against Seattle and got his bell rung and had to leave the game. And Jared Goff came in and played pretty well after that. But he only threw six passes in that game. Okay, so I don't know. That's the quarterback portion of this. That's why that's number one. Number two is if, in fact, you don't have much of a passing game, if Stafford is unavailable, who's going to run it? That's why running backs is number two. Here's number three, the defensive secondary, right? We talked about this on yesterday's pod, another good example of why you need to make sure that you subscribe every day. Jalen Ramsey's not going to play. Troy Hill's not going to play. Fuller and Rapp and Nick Scott and these guys, they're not going to play. But it's that next group of guys, right? It's the Robert Rochelles. It's the Durants. It's these sorts of guys that you went out and drafted or acquired or guys that were on your team last year that maybe didn't get as many snaps as you would have liked. These are the guys that are going to have to figure out a way to make some plays at an NFL level. If they can do that, if they can figure out how to, and again, you don't need a bunch of pick sixes. You don't need somebody that's the next Deion Sanders or the next Jalen Ramsey for that matter. You just need somebody that can get you to the end of the line of a game to where when you break that huddle, when that offense breaks the huddle, they're not saying, hey, where's Rob? Okay, Robert Rochelle right there. Go to him. Go at him every single time. Because they're already going to get that enough, right? Because here's what happens. Offense breaks the huddle. They come out. Where's number five? Oh, there's Jalen Ramsey over the KK. We're not doing that. Okay. Where are we going next? We're going to go to the tight end. We're going to go to the slot guy. Where are we going to go next? And that's going to be Hill and Fuller and Rapp and Rochelle and Nick Scott and all these other guys that we've been talking about, but they have to at least have a fighting chance. It can't just be, look, you can have Deion Sanders over there. If the guy on the other side can't, cover a dead body, then what difference does it make? We'll just throw it over there every time. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be good enough to keep the offense honest. And at this point, we'll see. So those are the three areas that I think you're looking at going into the game on Saturday. Make sure that you flip on your radio if you get a chance. If you're here in LA, pregame show starts at 5:00. Kickoff starts at 7:00. JB and Maurice and DeMarco, my pals, they're going to have the call for you right there. And then Kirk and I right back on the postgame show immediately following the conclusion of the game. And then me right back here on Monday as well for Locked On Rams. Until next time, Thanks for making us your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcast. Now make Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Football, your second listen. Find the intellectual fantasy expert, Vinny Iyer, who brings over 20 years of NFL experience and a unique angle to give you the moves that no one else has. Get ready for your fantasy draft with Locked On Fantasy Football. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.